Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you. My guest this week is Ajit Singh. Ajit is the co-founder and executive chairman of ThoughtSpot, an organization revolutionizing analytics with search and artificial intelligence. The company is focused on making the world more fact-driven through a better decision engine. Prior to founding ThoughtSpot, Ajit co-founded Nutanix, which applied the design thinking to simplify the data center. In this interview, Ajit discusses the value of transparency within a company. In his time in Silicon Valley, Ajit has noticed situations where there's a disconnect between how executives think, what happens in reality, and how much the board gets to know. However, Ajit has built a culture with absolutely nothing to hide, as he knows. He's chosen to invite all employees to board meetings because he claims that employees should know everything that's going on in the company. Further, he cites that this has given young engineers the opportunity to present to some of the most respected investors in Silicon Valley. We also discuss Ajit's goal for 10 unicorns to come out of ThoughtSpot, the benefits Ajit gains from taking personal offsites alone frequently to contemplate the company's priorities, the partnerships the company has formed with a variety of other companies, and brainstorm new ideas, among a variety of other topics we cover. Ajit Singh, welcome to Technovation. It's great to speak with you today.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
I thought we'd begin, Ajit, with your company, ThoughtSpot, a company you co-founded in 2012, were the CEO for the subsequent 6+ years, now the executive chairman of the organization. Can you give us a bit of background about ThoughtSpot and its origins?
ThoughtSpot, you can think of it as a search engine for numbers, as Google for numbers. That makes it really easy for anyone of any level of skills to be able to ask data questions and make data-driven decisions. We started ThoughtSpot in 2012 with the goal of making the world more fact-driven, because in businesses as well as in personal life, people make a lot of decisions based on opinions and gut calls. And that's all good. Opinions are important. That is important as well. But if those decisions can be grounded in facts, we think businesses can operate better and the world can be a better place. When we started the company, what we saw was big data was a big trend at the time. People were able to store lots and lots of data, cheaper, faster, better. But the end user consumption, the last mile, if you will, of that data pipeline and the decision making, that was still very manual. A marketing manager would have to go to an analyst to build charts and graphs for them and then look at data and hopefully make a decision. But the problem was it can take weeks, sometimes even months, for analysts to build those charts because they are just so busy. And just like Google has democratized information, we are trying to democratize data for businesses to make better decisions.
And can you tell me who are, if you could offer some perspectives on the industries you primarily serve, the extent to which there are some where you have particularly a profound penetration? And I'd also be interested, within those organizations, who are the executives who are typically the buyer of a ThoughtSpot's offering?
Yeah, so the space we play in, you know, there are larger companies in the space, Tableau, now part of Salesforce, and Microsoft has Power BI. So these are the companies that we compete with. And the industries we tend to, we are pretty big in financial services. Retail is a big segment for us. Telecom and media, manufacturing, we're starting to work with the government as well. And the typical buyers for ThoughtSpot technology tend to be, there is typically a combination of a business leader, say a CMO, who's trying to improve their customer retention and reduce customer churn, would be a business buyer. And then on the technology side, it would typically be a head of analytics, chief data officer, or a CIO would be a buyer of ThoughtSpot, because we are built and designed for the enterprises. And we work with some of the largest companies in the world. You can pick any major vertical, and we would have multiple companies in the top five Fortune 500 companies as our customers.
Excellent. And I'm curious also, you operate obviously in a, as you mentioned, even some of the other organizations that that have similar offerings perhaps to your own. And moreover, there's a broader ecosystem when one thinks about data analytics or big data solutions, and certainly as you extend into machine learning, artificial intelligence, and so forth. How do you think of ThoughtSpot's place in the broader
ecosystem. And to what extent do you play with those other organizations? Do you integrate with those other organizations?
A great question. Actually, there is a couple of different questions there. So let me first share with you how we compete and what our differentiators are relative to other large players, specifically Tableau and Power BI. So if you look at analytics as a space, specifically business intelligence, it's a very old industry. You know, it's been access to data and reporting has been around for 50 years, long time ago, people used to build MIS reports on mainframe systems. Then you had companies like Business Object made it possible for developers to build reports on databases. And then Tableau and now Power BI started to work on data visualization. You know, Tableau actually is a 20-year-old company. The PhD thesis of one of their founders was done in 1998 to 2003 in Stanford. And 20 years ago, the problem they set out to solve was data visualization. It is more like creating a Photoshop for data. You can produce very high quality, good-looking charts. But in 20 years, the world has changed so much. You know, there is so much digitization happening in the business. As you said, newer and newer ecosystem is actually coming up. There is IoT, there is cloud, there is SaaS. There is lots of data being generated very fast, and that's on the data generation side. But also the business decision cycles are shrinking. People have to move much faster now. For example, if you want to compete in e-commerce, you have to look at your merchandising every hour. Earlier, people used to do merchandising, you know, once in a quarter maybe. So, given the change that has happened, what ThoughtSpot has built is a fundamentally next generation of analytics technology that makes it that's very simple for use by anyone who's non-technical. But under the hood, it is very smart, so it can help the non-technical user make sense of data. And it's also extremely scalable and fast, so you can deal with all this massive data volume that is being generated. And that has really allowed us to win some of the largest companies as our customers, and they are investing significant amounts of money with ThoughtSpot. Now, and at the core, what we have done is built a new kind of search engine. We also use a lot of machine learning to provide the right insights to users at the right time, where they may not even often know what question they should be asking. The business has become so complex. If I was talking about customer churn earlier, if I have a particular product and maybe I don't know that for that product, there is a lot of customer churn, I'm losing a lot of customer in maybe Texas for particular demographic. Now, that question is something I may not know to ask, but with ThoughtSpot, given that we know what your area of responsibility in the business is and what data you care about, the system will come to you and show you these insights automatically using AI. So as far as the ecosystem goes, data, as you said, is a very broad ecosystem. There is data integration, there is data quality, there is data warehousing, there is obviously the security, and also there is then the application layer. Sometimes people want to embed analytics in their applications. And the ThoughtSpot approach has been to really do two things. One, have standard interfaces so we can play along nicely at a technical level, and also build a strong partnership with the next generation technology platforms. So on the cloud side, we partner with Amazon, Microsoft, and Google to allow our software to run in a multi-cloud world. Customers can use ThoughtSpot in any of these cloud providers' environment, or they can use it on-premise. We also partner with database providers like Snowflake. They're growing pretty rapidly, and ThoughtSpot can add a lot of value to Snowflake customers. We partner with data integration players like Alteryx so that it's very easy for our customers to bring data into ThoughtSpot. We are also partnering with some of the most respected transformative consulting organizations. For example, we're partnering with Bain to work with the CEOs on helping them with digital transformation, because digital transformation and competing with data has become a strategic imperative for every organization. And ThoughtSpot being a next generation technology that democratizes access to data truly, not only for the execs, but also for the middle management and the frontline workers, it has a transformative impact on our customers. So we are also partnering with companies like Bain to bring that capability directly to the boardroom and be able to create a transformation for these large organizations. We're also partnering with the system integrators that that implement this technology, companies like Accenture and Infosys and Deloitte, we're partnering with all of them.
Excellent. I also wanted to ask you, in the 7+ years now since the company's founding, how is your own responsibilities, how have they evolved as the organization has grown? I've seen you joke that you're the chief coffee maker, and you talk about the importance of, you know, kind of serving the rest of the organization, quite literally, but also figuratively as well. I wonder if you could take a moment to just describe the evolution of your role.
Yeah, so I think that is very well put. My role, I have only seen it as a chief coffee maker. And I only say that half jokingly, because I really think to build a great company, all that you need to do is to identify a very large market, which has a huge problem, and then recruit people that are great. And then let me specify what I mean by great, not using the term lightly. I want to recruit people that are passionate, that are driven, that are skilled, but people for whom we can create a platform to do best work of their life. You know, there has to be something in it for them that they can come to ThoughtSpot and grow. So I look at my role, titles aside, as someone who needs to recruit great people and help them with whatever they need to be successful. I feel that I've been very fortunate, having been in the Valley over the last 12 years, having done a couple of startups with the modest level of success. At this stage, I don't seek more success for myself. I want to create more success for others, and that is what really motivates me, excites me, and keeps me going every day. It wakes me up every day in the morning with a lot of excitement. So that's been the core. Now, in a more formal way, last year I moved from a CEO role to an exec chairman role. We had raised a big round of funding, and I knew Sudish from Nutanix. We had worked together, and he joined us as the CEO. And both of us have a really good relationship. We worked together from the past. We have a shared mission and vision of what we want to do for ThoughtSpot, but also how together we want to make everyone at ThoughtSpot extremely, extremely successful. So it's been a great partnership. We have a very strong leadership team. And I, with Sudish being here, he has a very strong background in sales. He took Nutanix from zero to over $1 billion in revenue. I have been working on products for the last 20 years. My passion is really building products that are unlike anything else, that solve a very meaningful problem. I also enjoy design and user experience. So with him being here, I have the flexibility to spend 60 to 70% of my time on product, and the other 30, 40% goes with customers and partners.
You've also talked about the necessity and advantages, in fact, of a transparent culture. You've mentioned in interviews that I've seen that the company was past 100 when you were still treating board meetings like all hands meetings. And I wonder if you could talk a bit about the advantages of that level of transparency.
So I have, having been in the Valley for a while, I've seen some situations where, the transparency at the board level, there is a disconnect between how exec team is thinking about things, what is happening in reality, and how much board gets to know. Because board meetings happen once in a quarter. You're obviously talking to board members on a one-off basis here and there, but board meetings happen once in a quarter, and it's not enough for just the exec team to communicate with the board and give them a very high level perspective. My view was that there should be nothing to hide. I wanted to build a culture where there is absolutely nothing to hide. And sometimes management team can try to sort of package up things for the board. And I wanted to make it completely unadulterated. So that's why I said, why don't we invite all the employees to our board meetings, because the employees of the company know everything that is going on, and it will keep the exec team honest. Actually, what I used to do when we were small, I used to present maybe one or two slides, and that's it. But I would have maybe the most junior people in the organization come and present to the board, tell what they are doing, what is working, what is not working, and it provided a lot of very detailed view of the business and the product to the board. Also, it was a great opportunity for young engineers to come and present to some of the most respected investors in the Valley. Because one of my goals is that in the next 10 years, I would love for 10 unicorns to be born out of ThoughtSpot. We are building a great company. but we hire very ambitious people. And my goal is to give them complete visibility and experience of building a company so that they can go and start companies and make them really big. So having these kinds of board meetings and interactions also gave opportunities for our employees to become comfortable interacting with the very respected investors and board members. And hopefully that'll be an experience that will help them in future.
Very interesting indeed. And another thing that I found fascinating about your background and your practices is the practice of developing or pursuing solo offsite, as you have framed them. Each month, as I understand it, you schedule an offsite just for yourself, book a hotel room, create an agenda with objectives, and then spend the evening and the entire next day alone focusing on solving those or working towards those objectives. And I wonder if you could talk a bit about that process, the advantages of so doing, and you know, why you've incorporated that into your own business rhythm.
Definitely. So this, I think there is other leaders also that have done this. And I personally found that as the business becomes more complex, the number of people, number of products, number of geographies, all of those increase, you need more and more time to think with a clear head. And unless you find some dedicated time to do that, it is very easy to get caught up in the day-to-day and week-to-week and month-to-month work and lose that big picture. So that is why I sort of created this forcing function where I would have a dedicated day to go somewhere and just take a couple of steps back, think through what is working, what are our priorities, what are our challenges, and try and be as objective as possible in evaluating our priorities. Obviously, we also do exec offsites. Actually, just came back from one the last 2 days where we had all the product execs and all the leadership of the company get together for 2 days to look at our priorities. But as an individual, I think it is very important for people to find some solo time so they can introspect and get clarity. And that, I think, is a practice that is not necessary just for, you know, someone who's a leader, but at a specific level, whether a CEO or a chairman. But I think it's a good practice that can work for practically every leader at every layer of the organization, because the complexity of the business is really increasing. And I find that oftentimes people just keep doing what they're doing. It's important to find that space of mindfulness where you can take a step back and get clarity for yourself.
I appreciate you sharing those anecdotes. Very interesting. I wanted to also ask you, you alluded to earlier that you've been a product person for quite some time, including at stints at major organizations, Honeywell and Oracle among them, before co-founding Nutanix in 2009. And then, of course, founding ThoughtSpot, which we've been speaking about through most of our conversation. I wonder if you could talk a bit about the evolution of your career from understanding and leading product responsibilities at major organizations, and then eventually getting to the point of pursuing companies of your own. Can you talk a bit about that that journey?
Yeah, definitely. So I worked at a company called I2 Technologies as that was my first product management job. But where I got the opportunity to build a new product from scratch was at Honeywell. And that was a really amazing experience for me. One might think that how do you learn entrepreneurship in large companies, but found that to be an amazing experience. So I got an opportunity to work with a very forward-thinking leader at Honeywell. We were building software for aerospace industry for remote diagnostics for aircraft engines. And he wanted to really build a consumer-class user experience for the maintenance crew, which was a very radical thought at the time, because this, we are talking about 2003, 2004, much before iPad and iPhone had shown us what design can do. So we worked on this project, and we also hired IDEO, one of the best design firms in the world, to help us with the user experience and the design of the service and software. And that exposure to design thinking has really stayed with me since then, whether it was at Nutanix, where we applied a lot of design thinking to simplify the data center, or at ThoughtSpot, where really simplifying data through design thinking, I have seen the transformative power of what good design can do. And I can never design anything myself, but I have been very passionate about recruiting senior design leaders, design talent, and I get a lot of energy by hanging out with our design and product teams, iterating on ideas, and focusing on how to simplify things. Because making the complex simple is extremely, extremely hard. The area we are working on, analytics, you know, it is by definition a hard and a complex problem, but it's been a lot of fun to simplify it and make it as simple as typing a search query in Google.
You've alluded to the sanctity, and understandably, especially in a business of yours, of finding and providing opportunities for great people. And being based in Silicon Valley as you are, which is perhaps one of the most acute crucibles of for the war on talent, war for talent rather. I wonder if you could take a moment and talk a bit about how you've thought about that. How do you go about attracting great people when the great people themselves, of course, have so many opportunities within driving distance?
Yeah, so the reality is that, the talent is now very global. And we are a global company. In fact, more than 50% of the company now is outside of the Bay Area, Silicon Valley. And we have a very explicit no HQ culture, where we don't want to limit ourselves with just being a Bay Area company. Obviously, there is a great lot of great talent in Silicon Valley, and it's a very competitive market. And we have done fairly well in being able to recruit from some of the best names that you can find here in the Valley. You know, whether it's Google, Apple, Facebook, we've been able to attract some really, really strong talent from there. But our focus is to build the company as a global company. For R&D, we have three centers right now. There is Silicon Valley, there is Seattle and Bangalore. And we are also looking at some locations in Europe for engineering talent. And I think it is a very cultural thing. You know, if you sit in the ivory tower called Silicon Valley and you think that that is all that is there to the world, I think you limit yourself. We have made sure that we treat all our locations as primary engineering centers. So we hire, oftentimes you would see that companies would have on product managers and designers in one location, and they might hire engineers in other places, but most, if not all, of the critical decision-making happens in quote-unquote HQ. We have built a more distributed decision-making model, and for that we hire product managers, designers, engineers in all the locations. We create independent pods of teams that can operate independently and make fast decisions. So I really think that companies have to think differently. Even startups have to think differently on how to build companies. There are newer companies like GitLab that have actually no offices. They all work from remote locations. It's more than 600 people company now, I believe. So there is a lot for us to learn, and the technology industry needs to really evolve in its thinking on how to operate globally.
Well, Ajit Singh, thank you so much for taking time to speak with me today and to share some perspectives from your career, your entrepreneurial journey, your time at ThoughtSpot. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you so much, Peter, for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in. And please join me next week when my guest will be Mike Ellis, the Chief Digital Officer and Chief Customer Officer of Johnson Controls.